Morning. Thank you to everybody who is joining on and continuing on this morning. If you'll allow me, I'd like to dedicate this to my new grandson, who was born on Thursday night, early Friday morning, and about what we can build together as a family and with everybody in our lives. If Rabbi Tom Cohen was inspired by vacation and the relationships we can meet and make and the we can further develop ourselves. I'm looking a little bit more locally. I'm looking at the Parsha that we're going to be reading Bezrat Hashem next Shabbos. That's really going to set the tone for the next few weeks between Truma, Tetzaveh, a lot of Kitisa, Vayakel Pekudei, and then wrapping into Vayikra Tzav. We're getting some 22 prakim about how to build an edifice for Hashem to reside within us and then how to use it. Lots and lots of details. There's a part of me that really empathizes with Moshe as he gets the first command in this week's Parsha. Hashem tells him, first of all, go to Bnei Israel and take a truma, take a donation, not only that they should give, but that you should take. He gives them a long list of materials. He gives Moshe a very cryptic message, the Asuli Mikdash, make for me a building, and then goes on and on with a lot of details. I'm not very good with instruction booklets. When I'm asked by my grandchildren to build Legos with them, there's a panic in my stomach that I know I'm going to miss a step and there's going to be a lot of unhappy little people walking around me. I cannot begin to imagine what Moshe Rabbeinu was feeling at this time. Shepherd, yes, he's got that one down, but building, organizing people, getting from them, understanding the details, he must have been feeling like, oh my goodness, how do I do this now? And if that wasn't enough, the structure that he was being asked to build to somehow create an abode that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to reside within Bnei Israel must have pushed this beyond the breaking point. How on earth is he going to be able to manage? So this morning, I'd like to go with you into a few of these questions to try and understand a little bit more about this place that Hashem is commanding Moshe to build, why it's got so many prakim, so many psukim dedicated to it. If we look at it as 22 prakim, the entire length of Sefer Vayikra is 27 prakim. It's almost an entire sefer devoted to the idea of building a place for Hashem to reside. For the purpose of this week's shiur, I'm not going to differentiate between a mikdash and a mishkan, whether it's permanent, whether it was temporary, but simply the fact that Hashem is asking us to build the place in which he will reside and what that means for us. So the questions I want to deal with you today is, why is Hashem commanding Moshe at this point in time? And why is the Parsha of Truma nestled after Parshat Mishpatim? What is the connection chronologically at the point where Bnei Israel, in terms of their education and maturation? And how does it connect to the previous prakim, to previous Parshiot, to Mishpatim and Parshat Yitro? That's a little bit more of a technical question. On a larger question, a deeper thought, how on earth are we supposed to build a place for Hashem to live? Hashem exists, but he doesn't exist. He's abstract. How do we make something physical? How are we able, with the enormity of this, to make something for God with the materials that we have on hand in our world? So that's question two. Question three, what does it represent? Why is Hashem asking us to do this? What is it supposed to mean for us? And are all the details really included in the instruction manual? Are we going to be able, is Moshe going to be able to build based on what Hashem is telling him? Is he going to need any more help and instruction? And fourth, and that's where it's really going to pivot to us today, 22 prakim were devoted to this topic. We don't have it anymore. If it was so important that there were so many details that we are told about how Hashem commanded Moshe and then how Moshe fulfills the command, what happens when it's gone? What is it left for us to do today? How can we continue the idea that was embedded within the Mikdash, within the Mishkan, into our lives today? So to start with the first question, why now at this point of time? And we're going to look at source one, the Oznaim LaTorah on Parshat Truma. Why at this point? And he asks the question, Lama nismacha parsha zo la parshat mishpatim? Why here? Why following Parshat Mishpatim? Lefi she'acharei she'shamu b'nei Israel b'har Sinai lo tiknov, lo tachmod. After b'nei Israel heard the Aserta Dibrot, including don't steal, don't desire. V'acharei shamud kol mishpatim asher tziva Hashem ubeneihem v'chi shel ish me'im re'ehu. And then they learned the mishpatim amongst with, if you take something from a friend and something happens to it, you need to pay back. Nimse'u yere'im v'shleimim. They were now worried what's going to happen. She'amru la'shuv mitzrayma. We better go back. Kedei la'achzir le'mitzrayim et kol ha'kelim kesef v'zahav she'shalu mehem. Oh, we borrowed things. Now we better go bring them back to the people we took them from. Otherwise, we're doomed before we even began anything. We just heard all these laws. Lefichach, Amar Hashem leMoshe, v'ikhu li truma, v'ivnu li bayit ma'kesef ha'zahav. Take from me these donations and build a Beit HaMikdash, build an abode, build a Mishkan, build an edifice. With these materials, the silver and gold, showed Tziyumi Mitzrayim that you took out of Egypt. Ki ani Hashem ohev mishpat, sone gezel be'ola. I am God who loves justice. I hate thievery when you're giving me a gift, when you're giving me an offering. V'lu haya bazeh ezo chashash. If I had any doubt that you did not deserve the kesef and zahav, that it was not rightfully yours, lo hayiti matir livnot bayit mikesef zahav zeh. I would never allow you to build a house with this materials. V'im lahakdish lahekdish hu mutar lahedyot alacha kama v'kama. And if I would allow you to keep it, how much more so if I'm asking you to build a Beit HaMikdash in my name? V'kesef ha'zahav shehotzitim mimitzrayim, all the materials you took out of Egypt, magia lachem chelef avodatam ve'ein bo shum chashash gezel. You deserve what you got. You were not paid for years. You were slaves in slave labor that was demeaning, that was harsh, that was cruel. You deserve every penny. Do not doubt for a second. Take that very money that you're worried about and use it to build something in my name. Okay, so that's one reason why, to reassure Bnei Israel of all the thoughts and doubts that are crawling through their mind. Did we act inappropriate? Are we indeed worthy of being this Am Hashem? Fine. What else is there about building a Beit HaMikdash at this point? And Rabbi Sacks has an interesting idea that this is a team building exercise. He notes that until this point in time, if we look at the end of Bo and throughout Parshat B'Shalach, and even a little bit in Parshat Yitro, we see a lot of complaining. They're complaining about the food. They're complaining about the lack of water. They're complaining about the Amalekim coming in the war. Not that these complaints weren't justified. We can understand why they are panicked. They're in the desert with no resources. They are weak. There are a lot of women, children, cows, and sheep. They don't know how to protect themselves, but there's still a lot of complaining. Notes Rabbi Sacks that the minute they receive the Torah, and furthermore, receive something, a mission that they have to accomplish together, a job, this translates into a unity. And to read from what he says, this is on Parshat Truma, the home we build together. God said, let them build something together. The simple command transformed the Bnei Israel. During the whole construction of the tabernacle, there were no complaints. The people contributed some gold, some silver, some bronze. Some brought skins and drapes. Others gave their time and skills. They gave so much that Moshe had to order them to stop. A remarkable proposition is being framed. It is not what God does for us that transforms us. It is what we do for God. So long as every crisis was dealt with by Moshe and miracles, Bnei Israel remained in a state of dependency. Their default response was complaint. For them to grow to adulthood and responsibility, there had to be a transition from passive recipients of God's blessings to active creators. The people had to become God's partners in the work of creation. That, I believe, is what the sages meant when they said, call them not your children, but your builders. People have to become builders if they are to grow from childhood to adulthood. Judaism is God's call to responsibility. He does not want us to rely on miracles. He does not want us to be dependent on others. He wants us to become his partners, recognizing that what we have from him. But what we make of it is up to us, our choices and our effort. I'm skipping a paragraph and going to, there's only one solution to make the people co-architects of their destiny, to get them to build something together, to shape them into a team, to show them that they are not helpless, that they are responsible and capable of collaborative action. Bereshit begins with God creating the universe as a home for human beings. Shmot ends with human beings creating the Mishkan as a home for God. Hence the basic principle of Judaism. We are called on to become co-creators with God, and hence to the corollary that leaders do not do the work on behalf of the people. They teach people how to work themselves. It is not what God does for us, but what we do for God that allows us to reach dignity and responsibility. So to recap some of the ideas of Rabbi Sacks, that first of all, we needed a team building exercise to go from the next stage, from being B'nai Israel Hayotzimi Mitzrayim, who are going out of Egypt, who are fearful, who are scared, who are complainers, to an Am Echad B'Lev Echad, to really continue what we received at Har Sinai as a unified group, and furthermore, to give us something to focus our energies on, and that by completing this task, we are going to grow ourselves. The task was one that was going to enable us to become partners with Hashem. If Hashem is building our family in Sefer Bereshit and building a world for us to live in Sefer Shmot, we are now building something for Hashem to reside with us in this world. So we have gone from being this young nation to the next level of receiving the Torah and now doing something with us. What else can this Mishkan represent? And here we have the Yalkut Shimoni and a very interesting Mashal. Mashal Lamelech Shaitalo Bat Ktana. And we're going to compare it to a king who had a small daughter. Ad Shelo Higdila Uvata Lidei Simanim. Until she got older, while she was still a young girl, very, very young, before maturity, before any form of adolescence, he would see her in the street and talk to her, in the alleyways and speak to her. But when she reached maturity, Ella Asula Apollyon Sheheyemedaberima, he said, it's no longer fitting to the dignity of my daughter that I should speak to her wherever and happen chance. Instead, let me build her a palace. And that is where I'm going to designate a time in this designated place to come and meet with her. Kach Batrila, Kinar Yisrael Veohavehu. B'Mitzrayim ra'u oto va'avarti be'eretz Mitzrayim. Yisrael ben Yisrael were a na'ar, and I loved him. He was beloved. He was my child. But I would meet him happenstance. I happened to see him in Eretz Mitzrayim when I was doing the makot. Bayam ra'u oto. I saw him again, Hashem says, ben Yisrael et yamsuf. Bayar Yisrael et hayagdola. B'Sinai ra'u oto. We're continuing on with the relationship at Har Sinai. Panim bepanim diber Hashem imelchem. And at that moment at Har Sinai, the revelation, suddenly B'nai Israel mature from a na'ar to somebody now worthy, a full-fledged member of Am Yisrael. And therefore, kivan shekiblu et haTorah b'Sinai, v'na'asu lo uma shlema, now that they are a full nation, having received the Torah, in kvodam shel b'nei adam she'ehem medaber imahem b'farhesya, ela va'asu li mikdash v'shachanti b'tocham. Says Hashem, it's no longer fitting that I should meet them by chance anywhere outside in the open, but they deserve that everybody should know when I'm going to come and greet them. They are of that stature. They are that status. Let me command them to build a place. And in that place, we are then going to meet, and everyone will now know about it. So we have gone through a few different options. Number one, a response to B'nai Israel's fears that they did something wrong in taking the gold and silver. No, says Hashem, not only were you entitled, look what you're going to do with it. That's how much I approve of what you did. Number two, we're going to do this and it's going to help us get to the next stage. We're no longer going to complain. We're going to work together and take control of our destiny and kavyachol, partner with the Kadosh Baruch Hu in the lives that we're going to lead, building a place for him to come and to join us in our lives. To the third option in Yalkut Shimoni, we have reached a certain stage in life, and therefore it is fitting for us to have a bite designated for Hashem to speak to us. We recognize him, and now Hashem is going to recognize that we recognize him and reward us with this Mishkan. There were a lot of details involved in building this Mishkan. As I have said, 22 prakim. This did stress Moshe out. I don't think I was making up the stress that I would feel and put it onto Moshe. But the Yalco Chimoni is going to explain that there were three things that really concerned Moshe when he's given the decree of building the Beit HaMikdash, building the Mishkan. Two of them we're going to look at right now. Shalosha devarim shema Moshe mipi ha-gvura, v'nivhal v'nirta la'achorav. Three things really caused him, without better language, to freak out. He couldn't stand the pressure anymore. B'sha'asha amar lo va'asuli mikdash, when Hashem told him, build for me a mikdash. Amar Moshe lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ribono shel olam, k'tiv, hinei ha-shamayim u'shmei ha-shamayim lo yakalkelucha, v'ata omer va'asuli mikdash, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're beyond the confines of this world. You exist everywhere. How on earth am I supposed to, how on earth, literally, am I supposed to build a building in this world that can contain you? There's not enough materials out there. It can't be large enough. Amar le HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Moshe, lo kishem sha'ata savor, it's not what you think, Moshe, don't worry. Ela isrim keresh b'tzafon, v'isrim keresh b'darom, u'shmona b'ma'arav, v'ani yored u'mitzamtzem shchinati l'mata. You're going to take 20 planks of wood for the north and 20 for the south and 8 for the west. The east side was going to be more open for people to enter into. V'ani yored u'mitzamtzem, and I'm going to come and to limit my presence as I descend into your realm. V'dichti v'no'adati l'chasham v'dibarti, and that is where I'm going to bring my presence, my name, and speak to you. B'sha'ash amar et korbani lachmi, amar Moshe, imachnis ani kol ha'chayot sheba'olam, yesh behem ha'ala achat, o kol ha'itzim sheba'olam, yesh behem havara achat. Okay, so Moshe understands how he's going to build this place that Hashem will come to, and what Hashem will need to do in order to make his presence reside in that place. Fine, I'm supposed to bring a korban to recognize and reflect the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There is not enough bread or sheeps or wood to burn a fire in the world for this to happen. And if I use all of them the first time, I'm going to have nothing left for the next time to bring a korban. Again, Hashem tells Moshe, don't worry. Amar le HaKadosh Baruch Hu, lo kishem sha'ata savor, ela ze ha'isha asher takrivu la'Hashem kvasim. This is the offering that you're going to bring, kvasim, two lambs. And I'm not even asking you to bring them two all the time. V'lo shnayim bebat achad, ela et ha'keves ha'achad ta'aseh baboker. You're going to bring one in the morning and a second one in the afternoon. You can do this. I, in my part, am going to make myself fit into this space because I want you to have this space to meet me. And this is what you have to do on your part in order to greet me. You're going to bring a korban. The korban is going to have fire. The fire is going to remind you of the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that is where we will communicate. This is where we will greet one another. And more importantly, this is where you're going to learn about Kedusha, and we'll get to that idea in a minute. How did this Mikdash come about? How was it gathered in terms of materials? Who contributed what? The Rabag is going to note it was important that everybody should contribute, that it should be Mishel Atzibor, and that's in source 5. And if we glance at source 6, we're going to see that there were two different ways for B'nai Israel to contribute. There was one aspect in source 6, and this is actually coming from the beginning of Parshat Ki Tisa, that everyone had to contribute the same. They had to give a weight of a half shekel of silver, that everybody can feel that they had a contribution to this Mishkan. The silver was actually used to make the hooks that held up the curtains so that anybody seeing it from afar would see the silver and say, oh, that's my money, that's my weight, that's my contribution that is helping to hold the Mishkan afloat. It was also used for the adanim, the sockets, the held, the crushing, the planks. Everybody felt a part of this endeavor. But there were people who had more and wanted to contribute more. Some of them with their expertise in weaving, in sewing, in embroidering, and some of them with the raw materials that they had. So in number 7, at the beginning of this week's Parsha, Hashem commands Moshe, take from them. Take from them the zahav, kesef, and nechoshet, the gold, the silver, the copper. Take from them the Tchelet Argaman, Tolat Shani, Vishesh Izim, the blue, the purple, the red, and the goat hairs, and from the Elim that are going to be made into red, and the Arot Tehashim in the different wood, and the different spices in the oil. Everybody's going to be able to contribute, even the precious stones. So there was a double layer of being able to contribute, one in which all people were equal, so everybody could feel that they had a portion of this Mishkan. It was their house, and a portion where if you were able to contribute more, you were able to do so. It's interesting that this dichotomy between what you're donating is going to be reflected later on in the korbanot that are given. There's some korbanot where we have to give the same thing as one another, and there are other korbanot where you're giving according to a sliding scale what you're able to afford, that everybody should feel that the mikdash and donating to the mikdash and coming to visit and bring a korban is not beyond their means. Okay, what was then the purpose of this mishkan or mikdash? What was going to be its mantra? Why are we going to do it? Let's look first at the pasuk that Hashem commands Moshe with, and then the second one that follows immediately thereafter, to try and understand what is it all about. So the first one in Shmot Chaf Hechet, Va'asu li mikdash, they should make for me a mikdash, all of them, reflecting the Rabag I had shared with you. Everyone had to have a share in what was going to be built. And then what? Vishachanti betocham, I'm going to dwell in their midst. Note for a second the two terms, the mikdash, which might allude to the Beit Mikdash, and vishachanti, which might allude to the Mishkan. Note that they're used as two milim nirdafot, two synonyms for one another, which is why I've taken the liberty of saying we're talking about both, because there were elements of Kedusha in the Mishkan, and in the Mikdash, Hashem still dwelled amongst Bnei Israel. So we're talking about the concept of Hashem dwelling amongst us. And even though I was mentioning the krashim, the specific planks that were used in the Mishkan earlier, the concept of why Moshe was commanded to build what is one that is going to continue and apply to the edifice that Shlomo builds as well. Okay, command to build the Mikdash, so Hashem can reside betocham. We're going to spend more time later on the word betocham, in their midst. But I'd like to call your attention now to Pasuk Tet. This is source number 9. Kechol asher ani mar'eh otcha tavnit ha-mishkan ve-tavnit kol keila v'chen ta'asu. All that I am showing you, the structure of the Mishkan and the structure of all the kelim, that is what you should do. Hashem is showing Moshe on Har Sinai what the Mishkan is going to look like. And I have to say, if that were me, I would be heaving a sigh of relief. I have found that I'm very much of a visual learner. Show me what it looks like, and I'll have a lot more ability to take the instructions and to put them together. And we see that Hashem was literally showing Moshe what it would look like. And the implication from this, and there's a lot of literature on this as well, that the 22 prakim of instructions was not going to be enough. There's a whole world of Torah Shebaal Peh that was given to Moshe orally at this point, of explanations and interpretations. And even, yes, look, this is what it's going to look like later on, that Moshe used in order to oversee this huge construction enterprise of building the Mishkan. Even with the help that he received from Bezalel and Bezalel's team, Moshe was given an overview of what it would become, and it was given to him on Har Sinai. Build in the Mikdash, Hashem is saying, like what you're seeing on Har Sinai. And the number one reason for building this Mishkan is to continue this experience of Har Sinai, says the Ramban in source number 10. By Kuli Truma, why do we have the story here of building and accepting donations? Kasher diber Hashem im Yisrael panim bepanim aser tadibrot. Hashem spoke to Bnei Israel panim bepanim, as we noted earlier. It marked a maturation that they are now a nation. They're able to speak to Hashem face to face. V'tzivaotem al yedei Moshe k'tzat mitzvot shehem kimo avot l'mitzvoteha shel haTorah. And we got the basics at that point face to face, the aser tadibrot, the avot l'mitzvot, from which the other mitzvot can be derived or understood. Kasher hinhigu rabotenu im hagerim shebaim lahitiyahed, and sometimes we need those basics. referring to famous stories of people coming to the rabbis, we want to convert. How do we do so? Giving it to them in a snapshot. V'Yisrael kiblu aleihem lasot kol ma sheyitzavem al yado shel Moshe, and Bnei Israel accept all of these mitzvot, again, like the gerim that they were, the converts that they were. V'charati mahem brit al kol zeh, and enter into a covenant with Hashem. Me'ata heina hem lo la'am. We are now, they are now, Bnei Israel are now a nation. V'hu lahem le'elohim, and he is our God. Kasher itma imahem mitchila, according to the deal he made from them in the preparations to Har Sinai. Ata im shamot yishma'u bekoli, ushmartim et briti, v'ayitem li segula, keep my brit, you will be a nation special to me. V'amar v'atem tiyuli mamlechet kohanim v'goy kadosh, you'll be a nation of priests, the holy nations. Hine hem kadoshim, re'uyim shiyeh bahem mikdash, la'shrot shchinato b'nehem. Therefore, they are now at a level worthy of having the shchina dwell in their midst. V'lachen tzivat tzchila al dvar ha-mishkan shiyelo bait betocham mikdash l'shmo. You then need a place where I'm going to come and meet you all the time. That is why you're going to need to build this mishkan, this mikdash. It's a mark of maturity, and it's also going to be a way to continue this experience long after the day has gone into your memory. How are you going to relive it? How are you going to remind your children that you build this house for me? You're going to bring a korban with a fire, and the fire that you're erecting on the Mizbeach will remind you of the fire that occurred when I descended on Har Sinai to make you into a nation. And every place you come, you mention my name, I'm then going to come and give you a blessing. So it's an ongoing partnership represented by the Mishkan and the fire and the Mizbeach, reminding Bnei Israel of what they had. Okay, so the Mishkan reflects a continuation of Mamad Har Sinai. The Mishkan, as Rabbi Sachs alluded to earlier, also reflects a reciprocity. If God gave us the world and gave us the sense of family to enjoy the world, Sefer Bereishit, we are now going to give him a home in which he can live with us. And we see this in a similarity of words and similarities of ideas between the creation of the world that occurs predominantly in Perek Aleph and Sefer Bereishit, and the inauguration, the Chanukah, the dedication of the Mishkan that occurs in Sefer Shmot at the end of Lamed Tet and Perek Mem. That's where we're going to see the primary similarities between Briyat HaOlam, the creation, and the Chanukat HaMishkan. As a sidebar, there are two other places where we see the dedication of the Mishkan, in Vayikra and in Bamidbar. But here the focus is on what Moshe did to help create a place in this world for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So if you look at the words I underlined, you're going to see a similarity of words between Asa, Vayechulu, Melacha, Vayevarech, Vayekadesh, in both instances. The one word that I didn't highlight for right now, the idea of the kruvim that Hashem puts to guard Gan Eden right after Adam is kicked out of Gan Eden, and the kruvim that appear on top of the Aron and as part of the decorations on the Yeriot and some of the coverings of the Mishkan. The word kruvim is not found in Chumash anywhere than these two occasions, and it further serves to connect the two. Hashem creates the world. It only takes him one parak. Again, we're not necessarily concerned with how he created it, but once he created it, what we're supposed to do. He created the world. We don't quite know why he did so, but the idea is for us, Bnei Israel, to then teach about Hashem to the rest of the world, to somehow spread the concept of Kedusha. So we are creating then the Mishkan and the Mikdash, which is going to be a place where Hashem can reside, where he can demonstrate to us what Kedusha is all about, and then we can teach it further to the world. We'll see that in a minute. And again, words of Rabbi Sachs. But I want to make one other note that's going to compare the creation of the Mikdash to creation of the world. And this won't be with the Mishkan, but with the Beit HaMikdash. in the idea of the Evan Hashtiyah, the foundation stone that was under the Kodesh Kodoshim. The foundation stone is supposedly the part where Hashem created the world. And in the absence of the Kodesh Kodoshim in the second Beit HaMikdash, the Avodot of the Kohen Gadol, the Avodat Yom Kippur, when he's going inside with the blood and with the Ketoret, were all done at this place. That again, this is where Hashem created the world. We're coming with the Beit HaMikdash that we built to recognize the world that God created, to form a partnership of how we spread the word of Hashem and the essence of Hashem into the rest of the world. Before we get to the next thing by Rabbi Sachs, we'll pause briefly at the Netziv, who's also going to mention De Kol Pratei HaMishkan Mekuvanim Neged Kol Pratei HaOlam, that every element of the Mishkan is going to reflect and represent an area that the world, that God created the world with. And says the Netziv, that's why we have so many details, pages and pages and psukim and prakim, about what we need to build and how large it has to be and how wide and how tall and how deep, because they're all reflecting in this creation that we are making, the ultimate creation that Hashem made. If we make a mistake, if we err, A, it's not going to find its parallel in the world that God created. There's not going to be a disconnect. And it shows that we're not fully creating this world in reciprocity. And that's why there are so many details. But what is this Kedusha that we're supposed to learn about in order to tell the rest of the world? And how does the Mishkan or the Mikdash help us with this creation? So Rabbi Sachs and Parshat Shmini, the holy is that segment of time and space that Hashem has reserved for his presence. Creation involves concealment. The world Olam, universe, is semantically linked to the word Ne'elam, hidden. To give mankind some of his own creative powers, the use of language to think, communicate, understand, imagine alternative futures and choose between them, God must do more than create Homo sapiens. He must efface himself, Tzimtzum, to create space for human action. No single act most profoundly indicates the love and generosity implicit in creation. God, as we encounter him in the Torah, is like a parent who knows he must hold back, let go, refrain from intervening if his children are to become responsible and mature, but there's a limit. To efface himself completely would be equivalent to abandoning the world, deserting his own children. That God may not and will not do. How then does God leave a trace of his presence on the earth? The holy is that point of time and space in which the presence of God is encountered by tzimtzum, self-renunciation on the part of mankind. Just as God makes space for man by an act of self-limitation, so man makes space for God by an act of self-limitation. The holy is where God is experienced as absolute presence, not accidentally, but essentially. This can only take place through total renunciation of human will and initiative, because that is, sorry, I just lost my place. Human will, that is not because God does not value human will and initiative. To the contrary, God has empowered mankind to use them to become his partners in the world of creation. However, to be true to God's purposes, there must be times and places at which humanity experiences the reality of the divine. Those time and places require absolute obedience. Pause. It's another reason why the details of the Mishkan and how we use it and then the Mikdash and Korbanot have no room for interpretation or deviation from the law that God gives us. Tanakh is a love story through and through, the passionate love of the Creator for his creatures that survives all the disappointments and betrayals of human history. God needs us to encounter him, not because he needs mankind, but because we need him. If civilization is to be guided by love, justice, and respect for the integrity of creation as such, there must be moments in which we leave the I behind and encounter the fullness of being in all its glory. That is the function of the holy. The point at which I am is silent in the overwhelming presence of there is. When we confuse God's will with our will, we turn to the holy, the source of life, into something unholy and a source of death. So the holy is going to be that juncture in time, in the times that Hashem's make Kadosh and the ones that we do, Shabbat and Yom Tov, in place, in the places that Hashem makes Kadosh, Har HaMoriah, Eretz Yisrael, and that we do with the Mishkan and the Beit HaMikdash, and with people in the Kohanim that are going to serve, that Hashem will make Kadosh through his intermediary Moshe, and the Kedusha we give upon ourselves as members of B'nai Israel that people can choose and opt to join. We have special places in which we are given the power to make Kadosh, but by doing so, we are going to become partners with Hashem in what Kedusha is all about, and then we're going to be able to teach that idea of Kedusha to the rest of the world. That's the idea in the Oznaim LaTorah in source number 16, that we have the power to make things Kadosh in the areas that he gives us permission to do so, in the area of time, in the area of space, in the area of location. Okay, so let's go back now to the idea of Vasuli Mikdash, you're going to make something holy for me. Vishachanti betocham. What does it mean in the tocham? How does it, why doesn't it say betocho? The Or HaChaim. V'lomar betocho, lomar shamakom asher yakdishu l'shcheino yiye betoch b'nei Yisrael, sheyakivu l'mishkan b'dalet zegalim. It's not going to be limited to the place that b'nei Yisrael are building for Hashem, that he's going to dwell, but rather it's going to be expansive, that the Kedusha is going to resonate outwards to the camp, the dalet machanot, the dalet zegalim, the four camps and the four flags. And this is what b'nei Yisrael, according to the Or HaChaim, coveted when they had the revelation at Har Sinai and they saw the malachim standing around HaKadosh Baruch Hu with their digalim, with their flags. They wanted a similar way of living a life around Hashem. So when they build the Mishkan and they camp around it and they preserve the Kedusha and then they teach about the Kedusha of Hashem will emanate from this one location into the entire camp, V'shachanti betocham, and will be with them as well. Okay. An extension of that is going to be the Yalkut Shimoni, the Yalkut Loes on Truma. That it's once we're saying that the Kedusha is emanating from the Mishkan into the camp of B'nai Israel, it's only one step further to say it's really going into B'nai Israel. And that's what he's saying in the underlined part. God is going to rest betocham, inside of us. What is the Mishkan after all but wood and gold and silver? It doesn't make sense that that's where God is going to reside, but that's the vehicle for helping God to interface with us, and then he's going to reside within us. The people residing who are living in that area are going to be imbued now with the Kedusha of Hashem's presence. They will make their hearts holy and become all fearing of Hashem. The lo yasu shum davar shelo kemitzvat haTorah haKedosha, and follow the laws of the Holy Torah. It's the levavot haAnashim. I'm skipping to the next underlined part. Hanimtzaim b'mekamot ha'elo. It's going to be the hearts that are then going to be the place where Hashem is going to reside amongst us. The Malbim in 19, and note that this is shortened from about a 4 or 5 page Malbim, is going to go on to say that the different kelim of the Mishkan are going to represent different parts of the body, whether it's the head, whether it's the heart portion, whether it's the overall guf, it is going to hold all of these internal organs, and each one has a correspondence in the Mishkan. So Asuli Mikdash, we make the physical structure, V'shachanti betocham. By building all of the details properly, we're then going to have that within ourselves and understand that our moach is like the aron or the shulchan, which sustains B'nai Israel with food, is going to be like the lev that sustains our heart as well. Again, the correspondence, v'asuli mikdash v'shachanti betocham. What do we have now? We don't have a Beit HaMikdash. We don't have a Mishkan. We have so many prakim about how by creating this place, it's a sign of the love that Hashem has for us, the level of relationship that we've achieved with him, a statement of how special we are, a place to help us focus the message of Kedusha and bring it forward. What are we supposed to do now? The occult Me'am Loes had an interesting statement. De'usha zeshishina hakatuv amar mikdash bimkom mishkan kedila hodianu shatzivui hazelazot mishkan lo hayalisha abilvad ba'asuli mikdash v'shachanti. Why, says the Yalkut Me'am Loes, are we going between the two terms? We're clearly in Perek Chaf Hei talking about building the mishkan. Why call it a mikdash? Because the obligation to build the mikdash is for all times. Mitzvah hanoheget ledorot. Shekoma kom sheyesh sham asara Yisrael chayavim hem lachazik bayit hamiyuchad. We need to still today, he maintains, maintain some sort of mishkan, mikdash, a place where we can greet Hashem. What do we do today? Makom zenikra beit haKnesset. We're going to do that by building a shul, the mikdash me'at that we build, where we go to greet Hashem with our tefillot, where we go as a group, and it's designated. We're going at certain times for certain purposes. We're not simply meeting Hashem on the street, on the road, in the car, on the bus, in the field, but we're going to a special point that is going to take the place of the mikdash, where we no longer have for all of Am Yisrael, but we have for at least the groups of people that exist. As I read this, I was thinking, okay, what has been happening in the last 2 years where for so much of the time we haven't been able to come together in a Beit Knesset for health reasons? Have we lost even further this ability to greet Hashem in the Mikdash? And I recalled a song that I probably first learned in camp during high school. And I have to say that at the time, it was a melody that spoke to me more than the words, because we weren't given songbooks. And for every word you didn't know, you just sort of hummed along. You maybe recited the word watermelon, which fit in. It was much later in life where I actually realized the words of the song. And it was only in the last week when I was researching for this talk today that I realized where the words come from. The song is in Source 22. It's attributed to Rav Yitzchak Huttner, the Baal Pachad Yitzchak. Bilvavi mishkan evne lahadar kvodo, that in my heart, I'm going to build an edifice, a sanctuary to Hashem's glory. Ubemishkan mizbeach akim, and in this mishkan, in my heart, I'm going to erect a mizbeach lekarne hodo, to reflect the rays of his grandeur. Ulener tamid ekachli et esha akeda, and for the ongoing fire that always existed in the outside mizbeach, I'm going to take the flames of the akeda that Avraham was willing to sacrifice his son to fulfill the Ritzon Hashem, the will of God. Ulu korban, and as for the sacrifice, akriv lo et nafshi hayechida, I'll offer him my one and only soul. The inspiration from these words came from Rabbi Eliezer Iskari, the Baal HaCharedim of the 1600s. Betoch libi mishkan evne, in my heart, I will build a sanctuary, lezivo, for his glory. Korban akriv lo nafshi hayechida, I will bring him a korban, my solitary, my unique nefesh. By the way, he was a student of Rav Yosef Karo, and he's also attributed with writing Yedid Nefesh, another song that resonates with me. So what do we do today? How do we take the Mishkan? I think, first of all, we need to understand what the Mishkan reflected, what it meant as a continuation of Har Sinai, as a way of partnering with Hashem, of creating something in our world to reflect the world that Hashem created for us, as a place where we go to greet Hashem. Hashem has given us a place where we can come and meet him because of who we are. We go there in order to learn from him about Kedusha, and there to emanate the idea of the Kedusha, of Hashem's transcendence, of his moralities, of his views, of what it means to be an ethical person, what it means to be a righteous person, a tzedek u'mishpat in this world. We learn about it in the Mikdash, and from there we take that message and bring it on to the world as well. If we don't have the Mikdash, we remember the ideas. We remember that the Kedusha of the Mikdash went to the camp of Bnei Israel as they were fulfilling the mitzvot. We remember, in the words of the Yalkut Me'am Loes, that we can do it with a Beit Knesset. And even, please God, we shouldn't have to go back to never being able to go into a shul like we have for a few months in the last 2 years. But we should always remember that even that isn't necessary, because ultimately the Mishkan that we build for Hashem is belevavenu, in our hearts, in how we listen to Hashem and follow his words and follow his Torah and embed within us the concept of Kedusha, and then we're able to share it with the rest of the world as well. Thank you and have a great day.